He said, because you crying out for me to put new wine in the old wineskin, and it doesn't work. So right now what he's doing in me and what he's doing in my wife, he's creating a new wineskin in us so he can pour new wine into us. Two reasons. The word says the old wineskin, if you put new wine in it, it's going to burst. And number two, he values the wine. He places a premium on the wine, and he does not want to spill new wine. So that's why he's doing that in our lives, okay? Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Let's just have a word of prayer. I'll go ahead and tell you, I didn't come tonight to have a cute Bible study. I don't have all of these little nifty little things that you can say, oh, man, that's cool. I ain't never heard that before. I pray God comes in tonight and just rips out anything in there that doesn't need to be there, Brett. I pray that he comes in and that we're changed because we had an encounter with Almighty God on a Wednesday night church service at Victory Fellowship. And so let's just get in receiving mode and just lift up our worship to him and ask him to come in and to Lord, do whatever you need to do. Father, we come to you right now. Lord, I love you and I lift you up. And I thank you for this day and I thank you for this opportunity to corporately gather together. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, individually and corporately, nationally, globally. I thank you for that right now, Father. I thank you for the move that I see and I feel and I'm experiencing. And God, I pray that it would just resonate through this house. We lift up our hearts to you. We lift up our minds to you. We lift up our lives to you. And God, we say here, take them and they're on the altar. They are a burnt offering, totally consumed before you, Father, because we know that you'll replace that with new life. You'll replace that with abundance. God, create a new wineskin in each of us so you can pour new wine into our lives. Set us free from the things that we need delivered from. Set us free from the things that we need delivered from so that we can walk in the fullness of you. We love you and we lift you up and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. As I was in the middle of the prayer, the Lord spoke to me and he said, y'all were just as much bondage as the group of guys from the Blake House when they come in and sit in. They're in bondage to drugs and alcohol and different things like that. But we're in bondage to old systems. We're in bondage to stuff that's in us that has gone past its usefulness, old mindsets and all of that. And I'm convinced the stuff that we're in bondage to sometimes is more detrimental than some of the stuff they're in bondage to, Jeremy. God wants to do something in that. Y'all turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. I didn't bring my reading glasses, so I pray for long arms or young eyes, one of the two. I'm good, brother. My arms are good. I'm good tonight. I'm good. I just want to read one verse, and then I want us to ask us a question. Be not ye there, two verses. One verse, verse 9. Did I tell y'all Matthew 6, verse 9? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I love what Bill Johnson says is one of the many quotes that he releases. He said, if it exists in heaven, then it's God's design for it to exist in earth. If it exists in heaven, then it's God's design and God's purpose for it to exist in earth. We just read, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. What's the next part? As it is in heaven. God has really been causing me to evaluate my life the last couple weeks. And just the phrase, James and I had a long discussion at work while we were at the packing table this week about this. And God's been asking me the question, are we really world changers? the verse that God just declared for us to pray, that our prayer should be, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How does that happen? How does that happen? It happens as us, the children of God, the representatives of God, God in His Spirit dwelling inside of us, His creation, releasing heaven into earth. That's how it happens, right? We just sit back and wait for God to, I'm just waiting on the move of God, waiting on the move of God. How many of y'all are sick of the phrase, "God's about to do something"? That's like throw up in my mouth right now. Because I've heard that my whole life. You know, one other Bill Johnson quote that I love, he said, "Quit waiting for revival, let's just do it." Quit waiting for revival, let's just do it. What are we waiting on? We've got this. We've got the Word. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We got His instruction and mandate and commission to greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father and I'm feeding you with the Spirit. The great commission of going out and preaching the gospel and reaching the world and all of this stuff. The Scripture where He talks about the righteous and the unrighteous on His right and left, and He said, "You know, you came and when I was sick, you visited me, and when I was or you healed me when I was hungry, you fed me when I was naked, you clothed me when I was a stranger, you took me in when I was in prison." So He's given us all the tools, and He's given us the mandate to go and to release heaven and to do, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So He's given us this, right? So, when I got saved, you know, I'm on, like the Jake Hamilton song, I'm going to change the world. When actually is that going to start? When actually is that going to start? You know what my excuse was when my kids were young, and what a lot of y'all's excuse is right now? I'm raising up world changers, brother. You know what my world changers that I raised up, and I'm not knocking my kids, I've got tremendous kids, but you know what my world changing kids are doing right now? They're raising up world changers. All we're doing is propagating ourselves. We are raising up our replacements and we're not expanding at all. I just took my dad's place. I was on a tractor about 5 hours today. I took my dad's place. We're propagating ourselves. And all we're doing, guys, is coming in and maintaining territory that God has given us, but we're not expanding a lick. Rare exception of maybe what Jeff's doing in the Philippines. He's taking new ground. We're a part of that in some of this. And I'm not going to just beat y'all up all night, but I'm tired of us walking out, feeding in our comfortable little American lives like we've got heaven by the tail. We're getting it done because we're not getting it done. God asked me a question real serious, Gordon. He said, "When are you going to start being a world changer? Do you believe you can be a world changer?" You know what my answer is? Unequivocally, absolutely yes. Do you believe I've called you to be a world changer? Absolutely, yes. Do you believe I want you to be a world changer? Absolutely, yes. Have I equipped you and given you all the tools to change the world? Absolutely, yes. Then why are you just maintaining ground? We're going through life playing. Anybody in here, a football fan, loves a prevent defense? I have never talked to a football fan that likes a prevent defense. Every one of them are like, "You have got to be kidding me." And it doesn't matter if I'm talking to Brett or Nick or any other guy that understands the game of football. I've never met one that says, "Man, prevent defense, boy, that's what I pay $50 a ticket to go see." Because all you're doing is holding on for the clock so you don't get beat. We've got enough points racked up. Now we're just going to play as soft as we can and hope that clock run, baby, run, baby, run. Because at the end of the day, we only want to win by 1 point. Because a win's a win. And we've adopted that same mindset in church. Is I want this clock to run. I got enough points put on my tally board the day I got saved, that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that Jesus put His blood on my life. I got enough points to do it. So now let's just run that clock. Let me play prevent defense. Let me get in my little thing of life. And all that matters is at the end of the road is, I made it. I'm pretty sure in Revelation Jesus said that that's a lukewarm mindset, and He wants to spew that out of His mouth. I wish you were hot or cold. Pretty sure. I sit down and I begin to think about some things this week, and I sit in bed one night with my notebook, and I begin to write out a list of some stuff. I started to get notepad and get everybody in here to do the same, but I was afraid there'd be too much time of just sitting and trying to think and process and all of that. The thing that God asked me is what are the five biggest problems on earth? In your mind right now, start thinking, what are the five biggest problems on earth? What are the five biggest problems that our planet faces right now? I believe the first one's easy, that most of the world's lost and dying and going to hell and does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's the biggest problem on the planet and I'm a world changer, what am I doing to change that? I could go around the room and ask you, how many people have you led to the Lord in the last 12 months? And it would be a serious indictment on most of us. Because it's not our personality. It messed me. I know, me and you've been kind of touch and go the last few weeks with work and trips and all that. I don't remember if our guide from where we go quail hunting died. They said it was a brain aneurysm. We found out, the autopsy report, it was a brain aneurysm. 26 years old, same age as my kids. I called to book my Thanksgiving hunt. And I said, hey, I want to, you know, Annie put me down for Alex because he's the only guy that's ever guided me down there. We love him. One of our kids. She said, you sitting down? I said, yeah, why? She said, we found him dead the other day. She said, we buried him the same day my dad got buried. And she said, at that time, she didn't even know what it was. She said, they're doing an autopsy on him. He didn't do drugs or anything like that, but wound up having a brain aneurysm. It so messed with me. You know why? Because I have spent day after day after day in the field with that young man for the last 8 years. Every time I go down there quail hunting, I get him at least 2 days every trip. And I've spent time after time after time in the field with him. He knows where I stand. He knows what me and Lori are about. But I don't know the condition of his soul. I don't know if he's in heaven or if he's in hell right now. And he's a dude I cared about. I had some me and Lori went and we did a side trip over to Camilla the other day by the lodge and dropped off some stuff for his dad. We had some pictures of him that we got blown up. Lori wrote a really, really nice card and all that stuff to his mom and dad, and we dropped that off in a weeping willow tree from the plant in his honor and all of that stuff and all that stuff. That's how much I cared about this young man. But I can tell you about how many acres of cotton he planted last year. I can tell you how many soybeans. I can tell you the names of his bird dogs because I hunted behind them, but I don't know the condition of his soul. We're world changers, but the biggest problem in the world, we're having minimal impact with it. Am I the only one? I don't want to come in and bury everybody with shame tonight, but I want to come in and let God recalibrate some stuff in us. I feel like the Lord spoke to me and showed me something about our culture today and our society today. And we are hung up in this cycle of survival and pleasure. And we're looped in a cycle of survival and pleasure. And what we do is we come in and we do our 48 weeks a year of survival so we can spend 4 weeks of pleasure at the beach. Or you fill in the blank. But the reason that we are so desperate for the 4 weeks here, I mean, we get 2 days off. I had never seen that. Bremen must be a very rich community, because every time there's a school break, it's like Bremen gets vacated. I'm serious. People run around talking about, I ain't got no money, I ain't got no money. Daggone, every time there's a spring break, fall break, winter break, summer break, whatever, the whole town guts out because everybody's going on vacation. And I said, y'all got more money than what y'all act like. And leave a half day early so we can get a jump on things. Right? You know why? Because we are so starved for the pleasure, because we're so frustrated with our survival life. We're so frustrated with our everyday life that we have to go to the beach because we feel like that's the only place I can get some sanity. So I can get some peace. So I can get some of y'all are shaking your head like, I'm with you on that, brother. Of course, by us going to the beach 5 times a year causes us to fall right back into the loop of survival. I've got to work 50 hours a week to pay for that. I'm not hating on going to the beach, but if going to the beach 5 times a year means I can't send money to Amazama Ministries or Heidi Baker or tithe in my local assembly, then something's out of whack. Lord, show me we're in this loop. And we are so frustrated in our normal everyday life. And the reason that we're frustrated in our normal everyday life is because we are not being the world changers right here where we are that God wants us to be. And so we come in and we try to mask that with all of these things to make the other 48 weeks a year of survival seem bearable. I think I'm on to something here. I think the Lord's speaking some truth to me on this right here. I got 4 more things of world problems I listed right here. And you know what? I'm not doing much better with the next 4 than I did the first one. I'm just talking about, when are we going to start changing the world? I've been hearing stuff recently about billion soul harvest. That God's releasing this right now. I sit during lunch break. We're plugged into the Global Legacy thing at Bethel, and they have a live video conference once a month. And I'm fortunate they always do it at 9 a.m. Pacific time, so it's 12 o'clock, so I can sit on my lunch break and I can watch this video conference. And they sit in and they have guests and all that stuff. Well, this week they had 3 people from Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry that were leaders, and they'd sent all their mission teams into L.A. like, you know, a week to 10 days before the Azusa Now, and they divided the city up into 5 segments, and they went in and they attacked and all that stuff. You know, and of course there was just a ton of miracles and all of that stuff, but you know what the greatest thing that all 3 of these different leaders said? They said there was such a grace for salvation. They said, we were on the USC campus, and they said, it was some tough sledding. You know, I don't know if anybody knows it, but California's kind of liberal. And they said, it was some tough sledding. But they said, we were in like a common area, and there was a pianist, so 2 of the people from our team went over and just began to, not to draw a crowd, but said, man, you know what, let's just go worship the Lord some. And they said, we had literally had like 10 minutes before we were supposed to leave because we had another thing. They said, 2.5 hours later, there was this huge crowd that had gathered. We were ministering to all the people that were coming in because we began to worship and all of that stuff. And I think they said, golly, my numbers are bad on this because I've had so much stuff bouncing around. Either 13 or 37 got saved in that one setting right there on the college, University of Southern California college campus. And I'm like, they said one couple that got saved didn't know anything about Azusa Now. They wound up going to Azusa Now and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Sunday night during the altar call, that Saturday night during the altar call. So they got saved on campus and then got baptized in the Holy Ghost the next night. I'm like, hey, God. I kind of think that's what the Bible is, isn't it? I kind of think it is. But what we're doing, guys, is we're neutralizing ourselves with this cycle that we're in of survival and then these brief periods of pleasure. What God is about to do, I really feel strongly about what God's about to do. God's about to change your fulfillment levels. The things that used to fulfill you are going to stop fulfilling you. I don't mean to put it, you know, don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. You know what? I do want to put this on you. I want to put it on you where when you feel like you've got to go to the beach five times this year to find some peace, that you get bored with the beach. Jeremy, we went and listened to some cool music this weekend. Cool vibe, cool music, good musicians. My genre of music, that's a popular term today, and all that stuff. You know the only time that my spirit leapt the whole weekend? Where my spirit leapt the whole weekend was in a coffee shop in Valdosta, Georgia at 10:15 Saturday night when a young lady saw my Azusa Now t-shirt and started asking me, "Were you there?" She said, "Were you there?" I said, "Yes, I was." She said, "What was it like?" She said, "Me and my mama watched it on live stream all day, but," she said, "tell me what it was like." And so I sat there for about 10 minutes and started just releasing kingdom and what God was doing and all of that stuff. And that's the only time my spirit leapt all weekend. Because I was built for that. I like Warren Haynes. When Ashes and Dust played, he was good, man. He put his heart into it, took it up to right here. But you know what? It didn't fulfill me in there. It didn't fulfill me in there. God's going to change something in us where our levels of fulfillment change. There's about to be a shift. I'm going to go ahead and prepare you. There's going to be a shift on your levels of fulfillment. The things that used to fulfill you will not fulfill you anymore. The manna, you have got to quit eating. You've got to let God take manna away from you before you can start eating the fruit of the new land. And that's what he's wanting to do. But we've got to say, you know what? And I'm going to the beach in June. I'm not hating on the beach, guys. But when the beach takes away from everything else, you know why my kids haven't been on mission trips all these years? And they've been in church, and they've been in good church. But you know why they hadn't been in the mission field all these years? Because I was too busy doing two ski trips to Colorado and a dive trip to the Caribbean every year. And I would go on this mission trip, but I don't have any more vacation time, brother. I'm sorry, Ariel. We got great memories. I'm glad I taught you to ski. I'm glad you've experienced scuba diving. When's the last time you went scuba diving? But living in His presence, I'd rather you have daily, intimate encounter with God than to experience all the stuff out there on the planet. The Lord knows I tried to let you experience all the stuff. Everything that I physically and financially could, I wanted us to experience as a family and do all of this cool stuff. And by golly, we were the coolest saved people on the planet. And somewhere along the way, I came up short. I'm sorry, I came up short. We're good church folks, and we love Jesus. We're adults in here, so nobody get offended. If you get offended, just go home and pray for me, okay? I'm about to say something, but God's just been bouncing this thing in me, and it's the best illustration that I can use on this. Me and my wife can have sex, and we can have physical satisfaction from that. We can have physical fulfillment from that. Or we can go into a place to where we so connect physically, spiritually, emotionally, where we are intertwined, and it's not having sex, it's making love, and the two can become one flesh, and we walk out of this, and we are just so knit together, and we are more than just our physical needs being met. And that's what God's wanting to do. That's what He's wanting to do in our lives right now, Jeremy. He said, "Yeah, you've been getting your physical needs met, and you've been trying to meet my physical needs. We come in here and worship because we know God loves worship. Right?" God said, "Dude, I want more than that." Every married couple in here can relate. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Nick White? You know there's more. Sometimes you say, hey, man, that's good enough. But every time, as a lifestyle, I'm sorry, I can hire a prostitute for that. You know what I'm talking about? God wants to take us to a place where it's more than just getting our physical needs met. Where it's more than just, God, I'm going to come in and I just want to have some measure of peace. I'm talking about fulfillment, guys. I've been on some amazing trips, but you know the two most fulfilled trips that I've ever been on in my life? One of them was building a church in Guatemala, and one of them was cutting trees off roofs in Hackleburg, Alabama, when a tornado came through and looked like an atomic bomb dropped on that place. Sonny, I think you were down there with us. You and my wife were walking around there trying to find, digging through rubble in people's, what used to be their homes, trying to find pictures and stuff that were irreplaceable. Ministering to people like that after we got water unloaded and all of that stuff. Me and Scott were up on roofs with power saws. They're like, be careful, that looks a little scary. And I'm like, shut up, dude, this is what we're built for. I don't need a 5-point safety harness and all of that stuff. Just let me get up there and let me help somebody. I'm talking about us living in a place of complete, absolute fulfillment in Him and with what we're doing here on earth. I want my kids. I look over here Sunday morning after Nick gets through preaching, and I see your son in the altar wiping tears out of his eyes. And I want him to go down such a path, Jeremy, of fulfillment they can only find in Jesus Christ. I have watched you play a lot of football games. I have watched you wrestle many, 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 many matches, Nick. I've never been more proud of you than I was Sunday morning when you were standing up here. Because I told Lori, I said, he's built to do that. He's built to do that. You weren't built to be Dan Gable, isn't he a big dog wrestler, famous wrestler? He's kind of like Pele, you know. You weren't built to be Dan Gable. What's a nice platform you've got? But you know what you were called to be? You were called to be a world changer through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were called to be a world changer by expanding, not just propagating who you and Jamie are. Oh, I got it going on, you know. I got two kids and we're going to raise them up in the... That's better than not raising them up in the way of the Lord. But is there not a call for more than just that? Congratulations, you did what... Harold, I don't want you saying this when you're 50. We've had a good life. It's been good. But you know what? There's more, baby. There's more. The stuff that God spoke into me wasn't, I'm going to teach you how to parallel ski like Stein Erickson. We'll ski black runs at Snowbird together. That's not the stuff God spoke into me in the middle of the night. Huh? We can dive with sharks off the backside of Molokini Crater. Ooh, how cool is that? Just thinking big fish. Big whoop. I'm not saying we turn into monks. I say we turn into powerful people, which we're not. All right, number two. I'm sorry, y'all going to have to just excuse me tonight. I'm not angry. I didn't kick anything today. I'm okay. Number two, this is my list of the five biggest problems. You know what I've got as number two? World hunger. World hunger, clean water. Over half the world's going to bed hungry tonight. We're worried about the Wi-Fi not working fast enough for us, and half the world is going to bed wondering if they're going to have something to put in their kids' belly so they'll sleep through the night. Amen. What do we do? We're world changers. What are we doing to change that? We are doing a few things there. CCC, every Thursday, we support that financially and material and all of that. Backpack program. I hope all y'all are stepping up and bringing that. That's some good stuff, right? I mean, that's a start. Bringing food for the Blake House. start. Heidi Baker's feeding 10,000 kids every day. How much have we been sending any of her way? I can't, brother, because I just got back from vacation. My fifth trip to the beach this year. I would do offerings, but I can barely do tithes because I'm in this cycle of pleasure because I'm frustrated with my life, so I've got to have this escape. And so I get these escapes, and you know what it does? It throws me right back into my cycle of survival. Right? I don't think I'm too far out there tonight. Third thing I've got. Impoverished people. Large portion of the world lives in poverty. Here. Central America. South America. Eastern Europe. Asia. What are we doing to change that? I'm trying to get your fulfillment levels to where God's trying to get our fulfillment levels. What are we doing to really bring effectual change into somebody's life? The kids upstairs right now, you know what the teenagers are doing right now? They're doing Soul Hope right now. They're making shoes to send over to Uganda, I think. I think they're going to Uganda. That's awesome. I'm saying let's do more with our lives. I'm really convinced that one reason that America is as blessed as America has been, even though we're a jacked up nation right now, one reason we're as blessed as we have been is because we have by far sent the lion's share of missionaries and overseas help and resources and all of that worldwide for the 200 years of our country. We've been doing that for 200 years. We've been flooding the world with God's goodness and God's grace and all of that stuff. Now's not the time for us to backpedal on that. Now's the time for us to push and step in that. That's just my number three. And yours may be a little bit different. But I see that, you know. I'll make a big push for missions tonight. I want us as a church to start stepping up with missions more. I just told you, it was never convenient for me. Well, I can't carry my kids on a trip like that. No, they're not but 12 and all that. But, you know, when Aaliyah was 6 months old, she was flying to Utah. So I could ski, snowbird. Right? They're too young. That poor child, when she was 10 years old, I had her 70 foot deep in the Caribbean. As soon as she turned 10, yes, they changed the rules. Patty, you can get certified at 10 instead of 12 now. I was so excited. I can expose her to the bends and everything else. Not ever worry about that. I didn't worry about all that stuff. But that my point is, guys, is we come in and we say, man, my kids aren't. Yeah, they are. Isaac Crane's ready. Dude, he's ready. He's ready to release kingdom into this earth. Micah, I don't know what God's doing in you, but you are ready, cat. You are ready to be a world changer. Please don't stand up here when you're 50 and say, you know what, I've always loved Jesus and I've always had a good heart for the Lord, but I was in this cycle of survival and pleasure. You know, something happened when I turned 21 and started having kids, and everything turned into survival, pleasure, survival, pleasure, survival, pleasure. God said there's more than survival, pleasure. There's fulfillment. Here's something that happened. When you said yes to Jesus and you got saved and His Spirit filled you, all of a sudden it changed everything. All of a sudden, the stuff that used to give you pleasure, it ain't going to give you the fulfillment anymore. You know? There is a difference in happiness and joy. And that's what we were talking about a while ago. There's a difference in physical needs being met and absolute intimate fulfillment. And God's asking us, do we want to make the step? Because I promise you, there's an invitation right now. There's an invitation on this house. There's an invitation for us as leaders. There's an invitation for us as individuals. There is no hierarchical, clerical order or anything like that for this, where it's going to come in and it's like, oh, he's offering this great thing to Brett and Beth because they're pastors at Victory Fellowship. Dude, it's for anybody. It is for anybody. Whitney said yes. She's going to the Philippines in a few months just because she said yes. She's down here messed up. The day she told her dad and all that, she's messed up. And she said, I just know I'm supposed to go. I know I'm supposed to go. My fourth one, marginalized or displaced people. Whether it's wars, famine, you can fill in the blank, the Syrian refugees, you can put human trafficking in there. You can put adoption, foster care, CASA. It's all levels. There's such a huge shortage of foster care families in Harrison County right now. Huge shortage. In my mind, that's one of the biggest problems in the world, but I ain't got time, brother. I got a farm I just started. I'll talk about me. I ain't going to talk about y'all. I'll talk about me. Tonight, this is on Sid. I'm pastoring a church, and I'm running a business, and I've got a farm. I've got three businesses going on right now. God, I ain't got, my plate is full. He's like, you don't think I see the size of your plate? You don't think I can't redeem your plate and expand your plate and redeem the time? You don't think I can't do that? Just keep saying yes to me. That's what he says to me, Brandon. Just keep saying yes to me. You keep saying yes to me and you'll see relationships flourish. You keep saying yes to me, you'll see breakthroughs in your business. You keep saying yes to me and things will happen with your farm like they're supposed to happen with your farm. You just keep saying yes to me. That's what God's saying. Just keep saying yes to me and you'll see all of, I'll take care of all these other things. I'm absolutely believe that 1,000%. I heard something last night I didn't know about Adam LaRoche. Y'all remember anybody that's a baseball fan, me and James talked about it. Anybody that's a baseball fan, you know, he just announced his retirement from was the White Sox. He was with the White Sox. He used to be a Brave back in the day. He owns part of Buckmasters, him and Chipper Jones and some of those guys own that together. But he's a big Christian and everything, but he just announced his retirement because the White Sox said you can't bring your son into the clubhouse and all that. It's disruptive and all of that stuff. And so that got all the publicity and all that stuff. You know what you don't know about Adam LaRoche? This cat will go over into Cambodia and Thailand and places like that where the sex trade is so big and they sell the girls, they sell them into the thing. They will go in over there undercover. They will go in there undercover and they'll buy these girls out. He's rich because he's a professional baseball player. They will buy these girls out of this prostitution cycle and get them set up and established. Mark Rutland and them do the same thing with House of Grace in Thailand. That's what they do. They'll go up into the mountain region and they'll get these girls and they will actually buy them from the families that are about to sell them into the prostitution in Bangkok. 12-year-old girls. And they'll bring them in and they'll give them an education and they'll take care of them and they'll clothe them and they'll house them. And they'll bring them to a relationship with Jesus. And you know what those girls are now? They're college professors and all of this because they've gone through. They've been doing it for 20 years. So now they're seeing. Now they're seeing. I can't. That's out of my league, brother. I can't. You know why my niece decided to be a lawyer? Because she went over to the Passion Conference in Atlanta, and they were over there talking about human trafficking. And she said, I want to get involved in that and change that somehow. She wasn't planning on being a lawyer, but God so moved on her heart in a moment, and she said yes to that. God gave her a brilliant mind, and she uses her brilliant mind. She got full scholarship to Duke. She got accepted to Harvard. She turned down scholarship to Virginia, full scholarship to Virginia, turned down scholarship to Vanderbilt, all of these places begging her to come. And they will give you a free education if you'll just come and be a part of our law program. Cool thing about it now, she's met this awesome guy that loves the Lord and all that. We'll see where it goes, but it looks like this might be a God thing. You say, man, I'll give up my life if I'd say yes to God on all these things. You might find your life. You might find your life. You might find a fulfillment that you have never, never, ever, ever known or found. Fifth thing I put on my list, and I can't speak on this global, but I know it's the thing that I see in the United States is a complete attack and breakdown of the family unit. To me, that's one of the biggest problems facing the United States of America. I can't speak on other. Total assault on the homes, the families, on marriages, on children. Our culture has done an amazing, amazing job. The enemy, through our culture, has done an amazing job to handcuff you through activity. Activity in such a way that if you feel like you don't do this activity, then I'm not going to fit in, and my kids are not going to fit in, and they're going to get left behind, and all of this stuff and everything else. And so it handcuffs us, and it tells us we've got to do this list from here to here. And we could start with popularity and all of that stuff, and we could end with travel ball and everything else. And it's absolutely handcuffed us. I was talking to a young lady Sunday afternoon. Jess is one of your friends. I was talking to her Sunday afternoon. She's got three daughters, and we were talking about I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, and we were getting caught up and all that stuff, and she's a Christian and loves the Lord and all that. And we were talking about, her and her husband are coaching their daughters in travel ball, and we were talking about that. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how are y'all managing that right now? You know, how are you managing it right? How you manage it right now? She said, well, we play one weekend a month. I said, because I know a ton of them, and they play six weekends a month. Pun intended. They're eight, and they play 150 games a year. You know what she told me? And I'm just, this is what she told me. She said, I fully attribute travel ball to my mom and dad's divorce because it stole our family unit from us. She said, because dad was with one sister playing on one end of the state, mom was the other sister playing on the other end of the state. She said, you know what we used to do? This ain't preacher talking. This is what a young lady was testifying to me Sunday afternoon down there watching Randy play. She said, you know what we used to do? She said, we used to be in church 3 days a week. She said, every Sunday we were in the house of God, and then Sunday evening, Sunday night, you know what it was? It was family time. And my grandparents would come over, and we would cook out, and we would have meals together, and we had such a great family unit. And then all of a sudden, we hit those years, and you know what happened? One of us was over here, and one of us was over there, and all of a sudden, it was like a bomb. It just blew up our cohesive family unit. She said, I'm going to do everything I can not to let that happen on my watch. I'm not saying that's the boogeyman. I'm simply saying that the society has come in and tried to attack and rob and rip us apart. Because two things. Survival. Pleasure. We're in that loop. We're in that cycle. We're in that cycle. Getting back to world changers, I just listed five things. You may have two or three that are different than the five that I kind of listed out there. But the question I have for us, and getting back to the original, the thrust of this, is what are you doing about it? Those five things, Keith Carter, what are you doing about it to be a world changer? Are you simply propagating, I raised two Christian sons, they love Jesus and they're going to be good husbands and they're going to be dads? That's better than not. I applaud you for that. But is that fulfilling the Great Commission? Is that flowing in everything that God wanted you to do? It starts at home. Part of the Great Commission, he said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost. This isn't about everybody quitting your job and moving to the Philippines. It's not about never going on a vacation or not going out to eat at a nice restaurant or stuff like that. It's not about those things. It's about us being powerful where we are. That's what it is about. And what we have to do is we have to look at the things that keep us from being powerful where we are, and then that's the things we have to let God eliminate. God's not against the beach. He made beautiful sand in the Gulf Coast. Hawaii's amazing. God's not against it until it begins to come in and shackle us so we can't. So maybe I don't go five times, Gordon. Maybe I just go three. God will show you the balance in there. I'm just saying, if you're not a world changer, what's keeping you from being a world changer? That's my question tonight. If you're not a world changer, what's keeping you from being a world changer? You know what I usually say, that the only thing that's holding me back is time and money in life. You fill in the blank, anything, you know. Would you like to do this? Yep, only two things keep me from it, time and money. Time and money, time and money, time and money, time and money. Sounds like I'm kind of in that cycle there. If I had the money, would I have the time? Because I'd fill it with something else. That's my thing. In this scripture, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it exists in heaven, then it should exist here. What is keeping us from doing that? What's keeping us from doing that? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so when you read, or when I read that, it can be kind of overwhelming, you know, like seeing the big elephant that you've got to, yes, you know, take in front of you. But in our Bible study this past week, we talked about just one step at a time, one thing at a time. And so, like, if we've got this list of five things, so if what you need to do first is buy something and put it in that box for the Harrelson County ministry, and that's the first step. And then when you do that, then you need to volunteer locally. And then as you do that, it will enlarge your territory and your experience and your heart and your ability. But it's hard to say, okay, this month we're going on a mission trip. That's hard to do. But I think that for that to happen, just take a small step, whatever that is. That's all I want to say.
You look at the nation of Israel. Before it was, and y'all have heard this, before Israel was a nation, it was a family. Before it was a family, it was a man. And that's what it was. It was a man that turned into 12 sons. Well, excuse me, it was a man that turned into two sons, that turned into 12 sons, that turned into a nation. So that's what you're talking about right there, you know. It's just, there's got to be a starting gun at some point, though. That's my thing, because we hear and it becomes rhetoric, God's about to do something. And I'm excited about what He's about to do. I could play CDs, excuse me, I could play cassette tapes from 25 years ago, and you know what the message would be? God's about. I'm ready for it to happen, dude.
Service. About, I led anybody to the Lord as an indictment. If we're honest, it would be a bigger number than how many people who led somebody to the Lord. But have you invited 15 people to church this month? It's got to start somewhere, you know. Not everybody. I mean, Rick Gage is going to be preaching all night at this crusade. Have we invited anybody personally? I totally agree with what Sonny said. It's almost like, you know, you can't turn into this evangelist on TVN, but you can invite somebody to church. Because I got lucky enough. I had to work in Columbia all week, like, and Damon was preaching 30 miles away or whatever, and I got to go Friday night. I barely made it. I went straight from the plant, rolled in smelling like raw meat. But I just looked around, and people were happy. There was just a lightness, and you know, they weren't happy because Damon was there. It was just, you know, and it was like, and some of my prayer, you know, through worship, I was praying and confessing and repenting, and I'm like, I want to be happy or joyful again, not happy, but joyful again, where I am. There was a season when you touched on it. When there were enough people in this place, in spite of their issues, in spite of problems, they were joyful and happy enough about what God had done in their life, they were inviting people to come encounter what they encountered. And there was enough of them doing it that there was a joy in the house, a lightness. It wasn't always a deep word. It was just a lightness and a joy. And if that's not where you are tonight, God's not mad at anybody. Confess it and repent and ask Him to restore that.
Yes.
And then share it. And then, like somebody said, see where that goes. But He's kind of waiting on us to start that process.
Absolutely. James and I were talking about this at the packing table at work.
And James said the same thing that you said, Sonny. He said, you know, when we talk about being world changers, he said, that's intimidating. Right, yeah. You know, because I'm sitting here, a guy that lives in, I don't know how you would categorize where y'all live, but, you know, kind of past car rent out there. How do I change the world? You know, it seems daunting. And I said, you know, the same thing was, how many of y'all feel like your vote matters in the presidential election? All right, what if nobody voted? But I know it's jacked up this year, Chris, but in our democratic system, the way it's supposed to work, that's why so many people don't vote, because they said, usually the person that gets elected is the one that gets the voters out. The way Obama got voted in the first time was because he got the voters out. He got the 20-year-olds that were disinterested and wasn't even registered to vote. He got them excited about something. They went and registered, and they went and voted. You know? Sorry, Nick and Errol, y'all's fault. Y'all's generation. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Let's go. I know you're 30-something now. But that's how that happened. So we come in and we say, well, I'm just one and it doesn't matter. No, you know what? When James and I were having that discussion, you know what we did? We started looking around the shop. And I got approximately 20 guys at work out there. And so me and James started looking at guys and we're like, have either one of us had a conversation with Jesse about his relationship with Christ? Great guy. Good kid. But have either one of us had that conversation with him? Has either one of us had that conversation with Ryan? Came in here one Sunday, got wrecked one Sunday. Got wrecked one Sunday. Was pumped up talking about it at work next week. Hadn't been back since. You know what? The good old friend said, not just pastor said, but good old friend said, he hadn't been there encouraging and said, hey man, what? God's wanting to change your life. That's how it starts. You're probably not going to be Reinhard Bonnke and stand in Africa and a million people get saved. But you might be a guy that God puts and entrusts and puts in a position leading FCA at Harrison County High School, that he might start revival through that. Start a revolution right there. Huh? Maybe we didn't know how to get it right, or you didn't know how to get it right, or all of us didn't know how to get it right when you were a student and God spoke those words. But maybe this go around, maybe God's given a second chance. That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm getting a, dude, I feel like I'm getting a second chance. God just gave me a sack full of mulligans. Said, here you go, dude. You are real, real spotty for 25 years. I'm not talking about grading on a curve, because grading on a curve, I've been pretty doggone good. But I'm talking about according to this and according to this and according to this. And so God's like, fresh start. Let's recalibrate. And let's do this thing again. Let me make another. You know what? God's made wine, new wineskins in me in the past. And the cool thing about God, he says, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. So you know what I did after my conversation with James? I went back there and I talked to Jesse. He's only worked for me for 2.5 years now, James. But you know what I did? I went and talked to him. Because, yes, God, I really do want to be a world changer. He said, I'm glad to hear that. Now let's run with this thing. Now let's run with this thing. Let's stand our feet. I don't know what time it is. I feel like it's late. Oh, okay, we're not bad. 8:04. Here's what I want us to do, guys. Twofold on this. I want us all to come down and spend a few minutes in the altar, and I want us to seriously pray for souls for this next week. I want us to pray for souls Saturday night in the youth meeting. I want us to pray for souls Sunday through Wednesday that as people come in, I mean a serious grace for salvation. And that it would just move and it would draw, and everybody that comes in there would just be, I cannot remember the sermon that was preached the day I got saved. All I remember was the Lord. It was like the Lord had that rope on my feet and he was dragging me to the altar, James. That's all I remember. I'd heard Alan Wilburn preach 1,000 sermons. But it was the Holy Ghost that arrested me that day. And that's what I want us to seriously pray, that people be arrested under the presence and power of Almighty God this week. So let's pray for serious salvation this week. And then, on the heels of that, start praying that God would make a new wineskin in you so he can pour new wine. I really think the little illustration I threw out there to start with was on point tonight, that God's trying to pull some stuff out of us that has gone past its time of usefulness. And it's to the point where some of those things are unhealthy, to the point that they could potentially, eventually kill us spiritually. So God, if that resonated with you, let him work with him, okay? Work with him. Let those contractions help push that thing out. Because I guarantee you, as you release on that contraction, he'll time it. Made a big difference, wasn't it? When you wait for that contraction and then you... But it's up to us to feel that contraction and actually push. Okay? So I pray tonight might have started some contractions in you. I pray some labor pains going on in you tonight on some stuff. I'm serious. I want God to get some of that stuff that's past the point of usefulness. I want it out of Anita. I want it out of Sid. I'm excited. I don't walk out of here being down because you said, man, I stink as a Christian. Don't walk out of here like that. Walk out of here and say, man, God's really wanting to do something in my life, and I'm excited about that. So I'm excited about that, and just say yes to it. I'm not just pumped about what God's doing in Micah or what God's doing in Isaac or whoever you fill in the blank. I saw Matthew Reese getting wrecked a month or so ago. And I'm not only excited about that, I'm excited about what's happening in old Pastor Sid right now. I am absolutely digging it. Absolutely. I love what's happening. I see it happening in my wife. I love coming home from work and seeing the kitchen table just sprawled out with the Bibles and books and notebooks and journals and all of that. So, man, I'm like, yes. I'll take that over. My wife's still smoking hot, but I'll take that over a smoking hot 20-year-old any day of the week. Amen. Son, give me a godly, virtuous woman that says yes to him, because that'll bring fulfillment. Well, let's come on down. Jeffrey, got any? Or